VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And thank you for joining us on Crosstalk today here on VCY America. Ladies and gentlemen, we are living in some pretty troublesome times. You know, we've got a very contentious presidential election underway. Iowa caucus just 3 weeks away, followed by a week later, the New Hampshire primary. Tonight is the next Democratic candidates debate in Des Moines, and President Trump speaking to a crowd in Milwaukee that began lining up last night to see him. Articles of impeachment that were so important and urgent to be passed in the House have been stalled since Christmas in the House of Representatives, and now being reported that the House will be supposedly voting tomorrow on a resolution to name the impeachment managers for the Senate trial and transmit these articles to the Senate. We see what's going on in this world morally as well. We see what's happening in world conditions with Iran and the matters that have been unfolding there. We'll have some more on that in just a bit, but I'd like to set the program today from 2 Timothy chapter 3. This know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. That's hard to bear times. It's dangerous times. Perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. We see also that the time is being marked in verse 13, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceived and being deceived. It's very much a commentary on what we see taking place today, troublesome times in which we live. Just want to share a few of these items with you here today on the program. The first one coming from the New York Post. As students at Iran's Islamic Azad University are being offered a novel new career choice, that is to be a suicide terrorist. Leaflets are being distributed at the influential school urging students to sign up for jihad missions against the United States and Israel to avenge the death of Iranian General Qassem Soleimani. Registration for volunteers to commit a suicide attack against the United States and Israel, it blares. Hard revenge is underway for those criminals who killed Qassem Soleimani. The flyer claiming to quote the words of Iranian Supreme Leader Ayatollah Ali Khamenei carries additional messages of encouragement, including kill all infidels. Anyone looking to volunteer for the mission? Asked to leave their first and last name, birth certificate, number, education level, current occupation, phone number, and fill in the area marked, tell us about your talents. Media reports in Iran said the forms are being handed out by student cells, the militia arm of the Iranian Revolutionary Guard. The commander, Brigadier General, was appointed to the post directly by the Ayatollah Khamenei, tying the recruitment drives directly to the top leadership of the Iranian regime. Troublesome times. Flyers that are recruiting suicide terrorists to attack the United States and Israel being distributed in Iran. But we don't have to go all the way there to see the hate that has been building against Christianity. From Pamela Geller, another jihad news stories, the media scrubbed and censored, but imagine if a Christian did this at a mosque. WBBM in Chicago reporting that charges have been upgraded against a man who allegedly slashed tires of multiple vehicles at churches in Palos Heights or Palos Hills last year because he didn't like Christians. Osama E. L. Hananoi was arrested in November 2019, charged with 14 counts of criminal damage to property, according to the Palos Hills Police. The charges against him were upgraded Thursday to 14 counts of hate crimes, police said, allegedly admitted to slashing tires of 19 vehicles at two churches because he didn't like Christians. The Barnabas Fund reporting, Pastor's son, Ramil Bet Tamraz, was summoned to Iran's Evin prison, notorious for its harsh conditions, on January 7th to begin a jail sentence for acting against national security. The 35-year-old was given a four-month sentence. He was initially arrested in August 2016 when security officials interrupted a gathering of Christian families enjoying a picnic north of Tehran. He and his four Christian convert friends were detained in prison when they were held in solitary confinement for long periods and subjected to intense interrogation. Pastor Victor and Shamaram were first arrested December 2014. In July 2017, the pastor was sentenced to 10 years in prison for acting against national security by organizing and conducting house churches, and he was given a five-year sentence. Christian worship in Farsi is often targeted by authorities in their efforts to discourage the conversion of Muslims to Christianity. We also have in Norway, four Muslim men assault and kidnap a Christian preacher and demand that he convert to Islam or be killed. Pamela Geller has a story that four Muslim men abducted, beat, and robbed a street preacher in Norway, finally demanding at knife point that he convert to Islam or be killed. Roar Flotum, who regularly preaches and prays for the sick on the streets of the historic northern city, was lured away the end of November by the four seemingly friendly men to pray for a friend who had injured his foot, was waiting for an ambulance. Well, after he started following them, he was pushed down a flight of stairs, beating him about the head. They took his bank cards, his mobile phone, extracted his passcodes. He was held captive while the men withdrew from his accounts. His ordeal continued as they tried to force him to recite Arabic words, probably the Islamic creed, and demanded he convert to Islam or die, while threatening him with a knife. Muslims believe that anyone who recites the creed has become a Muslim, even if they do not understand what they have said and do not believe it. It was estimated in 2016 that 5.7% of the Norwegian population are Muslim, mostly Sunni Muslims living in the Oslo area, also a significant minority of Shia Muslims in the country. Troublesome times. Also, since we're on this topic here, Marvel Comics just got another Muslim superhero, and he's from Dearborn, Michigan. They got their own very own Marvel superhero. A few years back, the Muslim community got their superhero when they added Ms. Marvel, also known as Kamala Khan, to the roster. That Muslim superhero seems to be getting a supersized assist now in 2020 as Amulet, the latest Muslim superhero, joins the likes of other Marvel heroes. The Arab-American superhero hails from Dearborn, Michigan, which has been notorious for its conversion over to Islam. And then from Fox News, one more story on this topic here. The shooting carried out by a Saudi aviation student at Naval Air Station Pensacola in December was an act of terrorism. Attorney General William Barr said yesterday as officials released their findings from their investigation into the attack. Barr said the gunman, Mohammed Saeed Al-Shamrari, was motivated by jihadist ideology. His comments came as the U.S. was expelling 21 Saudi nationals living in America who, like this individual, trained with the U.S. military at facilities including NAS Pensacola. Senior justice officials said that during the course of the investigation, we learned that the shooter posted a message on September 11th, stating the countdown has begun. Also posted other anti-American, anti-Jewish, and jihadi messages on social media, including 2 hours before the attack. Troublesome times. Another illustration of what's happening in this world today is picked up by WND.com. All religious groups in China will be forced to teach the principles of the Chinese Communist Party. Bitter Winter is a magazine specializing in human rights in China, reports the new requirements will be imposed on February 1st. Fox News described it as China striking the final blow to religious liberty. The new administrative measures for religious groups were announced the same day that Pastor Wang Yi of Chengdu's Early Rain Covenant Church was sentenced to 9 years in prison for inciting subversion of state power. Now the government's targeting the what they call the gray market of religious organizations that are explicitly banned. The biggest part of the segment is the Protestant house churches. The government will enact 41 articles described as comprehensive edicts on all matters concerning the organization, function, supervision, and management of religious groups. The government boasts the authority to manage the affairs of religious groups, including the establishment, change, cancellation of registration of religious organizations. The communist government also shall supervise and guide religious groups to carry out activities and perform functions in accordance with the laws and regulations. Without the approval of the Religious Affairs Department of the People's Government or registration with the Civil Affairs Department of the People's Government, no activities can be carried out in the name of religious groups. The law says religious groups shall establish a learning system and organize their staff to learn from the major decision-making arrangements of the Chinese Communist Party, national policies and regulations, excellent Chinese traditional culture, and religious knowledge. Troublesome times. Folks, it's hitting the program Jeopardy. It's coming under fire in a battle on Twitter right now after a contestant said that Bethlehem is located in Palestine and was told her response was wrong. WND.com has a story in an episode that aired Friday. Alex Trebek asked contestants where the Church of the Nativity, which is said to mark the birthplace of Jesus in Bethlehem, was located. Contestant Katie Needle quickly buzzed and said, "What is Palestine?" Trebek said her response was wrong, moved to the next contestant, Jack McGuire, who said, "What is Israel?" Trebek said his answer was correct. Well, the Arab American Institute's Omar Bader recorded the segment and has spoken out against it. "Unacceptable. Bethlehem is the Palestinian territories where Israel illegally occupies." He added, "Jeopardy owes an apology for endorsing Israel's universally condemned illegal takeover of Palestinian lands." And the Twitter war is just going back and forth on this issue. Troublesome times. Let's go to Phoenix, Arizona right now. As WND.com is reporting that two school districts in the Phoenix, Arizona area have implemented educational programs promoting racial divisions and social justice. The two programs attack students on the basis of their skin color and other characteristics. Chandler Unified School District passed the Equity and Inclusion Initiative in February 2018. Kyrene School District also implemented it. Word has gotten out on how awful these programs are. On November 8th, Fox News host Tucker Carlson aired a piece on one of his two programs called Deep Equity, describing the teaching this way: "America is based on a hierarchy of various oppressions. Men oppress women. Christianity oppresses Islam. English oppresses Spanish. White people oppress everyone." There's also the Youth Equity Stewardship, or YES, program. Topics include social justice, lenses of diversity, and equality to equity to borderless. Corin, the vendor behind the program, stated on the website, "This series engages students in a process of understanding their personal journey and social accountability through a critical social justice lens and creating a living example of commitment to diversity, equity, and inclusion." One parent in the Chandler School District said, "Essentially, students and teachers are being taught anti-white, anti-Christian hate. Students are taught to lecture adults about their biases and are being taught to be social justice activists." Troublesome times. We'll be back in a moment.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, how fast do stars change from one type of star into another?
Chris, evolutionists are fond of saying that changes in stars take millions of years to occur. But it's important to remember that they've never seen stars do anything for millions of years. And yet sometimes we do see stars undergo dramatic change quickly. Recently, a star was observed to change in only a few years from a white dwarf star about the size of the Earth to a giant star 80 times wider than the Sun, an increase in volume of over 500 million. Evolutionists used to insist that such changes took long periods. But when we see it happen rapidly. Evidently, the biblical doctrine of recent creation of all things is accurate. Back to Genesis, that's the view that fits the facts.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America with commentary today on troublesome times in which we live, not just here in the United States. It's happening all over the world right now and opening our eyes to what is taking place. Talking about what's going on in the Phoenix area schools right now. And one of the programs, as they talk about this oppression that Christianity is causing, but there is also a program that they teach called intersectionality. Michael Rechtenwald, who's a former professor at New York University, who now speaks out about the left's agenda, says intersectionality is merely a replacement for Marxism and is very similar to it. The Epic Times explains, through the lens of intersectional theory, human history is largely reduced to white Christian men being the oppressors and everybody else being intersected by one or more layers of this oppression. Well, there's a parents group that's been formed now called Purple for Parents, concerned about fiscal cost and the indoctrination of students taking place. One of the Chandler's district's governing board, this is again from WND.com, Lindsay Love tweeted a couple weeks ago, SPLC Center, the Southern Poverty Law Center, should be looking into Purple for Parents as a hate group. Now, this is a group of parents who are concerned not only about the fiscal cost, but they're concerned about the indoctrination of students. And so one of the governing board members of the Chandler District is saying that the Southern Poverty Law Center should be looking into the parents as a hate group. Another post by activists called Purple for Parents a white supremacist hate group. But they're not a white supremacist hate group. Matter of fact, one of its active members, Michelle Dillard, is Asian. She's been quite vocal criticizing the programs and other parents concerned about the indoctrination taking place in our schools as children become the pawns. Troublesome times. Those of you listening in the state of Michigan right now, there's a coalition, and this is being reported here by the Detroit News, a coalition of business executives, political activists, and nonprofit leaders launched a campaign Tuesday to initiate legislation that would ban discrimination based on sexual orientation and gender identity in Michigan. This is last week Tuesday. The group calls itself Fair and Equal Michigan, hoping to collect just over 340,000 valid petition signatures by May 27th. If it succeeds, the coalition's proposed policy on what is termed as bias against gay and transgender residents could end up on the statewide November 3rd ballot for voters to decide. Supporters of the new campaign include the leaders of Dow, Consumers Energy, and DTE Energy, as well as Tim Cook, chief executive of California-based Apple. Fair and Equal Michigan submitted its petition language Tuesday, a week ago, to the Department of State. The Board of State Canvassers has until February 6 now to approve or reject the petition language. If the campaign gathers enough valid signatures, it would first go before the state legislature. If legislative leaders decline to vote on it or approve it, the initiative then goes before the voters. Fuller Theological Seminary under attack. From CBN, they're not known as a bastion of conservatism, but now we have a second Fuller Seminary student who says he was expelled because of his same-sex marriage, has joined a lawsuit charging the seminary violated federal anti-discrimination laws. Christianity Today reported an amended complaint was filed Tuesday on behalf of Nathan Britson, an American Baptist Church's USA pastor, and Joanna Maxson, a former Fuller student, each of the plaintiffs asking for more than $1 million each. The lawsuit could also have wider implications for Christian colleges and universities who receive government funding. The claims here are dangerous for faith-based institutions, said Beckett Fund attorney Daniel Blomberg. If the court was to accept them, they would be harmful to religious groups of all backgrounds, and particularly minority religious groups that have beliefs that the majority and the surrounding communities might find unpopular. The lawsuit is the first against a Christian institution of higher education for expelling a married LGBT student since the Supreme Court decided Obergefell versus Hodges in 2015, according to Paul Southwick, the attorney representing Maxson and Britson. Do you know the implications of this for Christian colleges and seminaries across the nation? Troublesome times. What's going on also in the state of New York is they're pressuring OBGYNs to perform abortions or leave medicine. An interesting editorial, or a writing, I should say, from Regina Frost said, "I'm a doctor and a caregiver, but above all else, I'm a woman of faith. It's my faith that drew me to become an OBGYN, called me to open my own practice to treat women with dignity and compassion, and that helps me navigate the daily challenges of my profession. But 2 months ago, Planned Parenthood in the state of New York convinced a court to strike down federal regulations that protect medical professionals like me from being forced to perform procedures like abortions and physician-assisted suicide that violate our consciences. Supported by my colleagues at the Christian Medical and Dental Association and by the federal government, I've asked a federal appellate court to intervene and allow me to continue to provide compassionate medical care without being forced to violate my conscience. As an OBGYN, I am present during the most intimate moments in the life of a mother, father, and child. I have the privilege of placing children into the arms of their mothers for the very first time. I also have to deliver the life-altering news of infertility and guide mothers and fathers through the tragedy of a lost pregnancy. This work cannot be done impersonally. I cannot leave my humanity at the door. I give all my patients the degree of care that I would a close friend or a loved one. I provide them the advice that I would want to receive, bringing my best judgment to their situations. While walking with women through some of their greatest joys and sorrows, I'm called to offer more than just my medical expertise. I'm called to provide the compassionate guidance of a friend, to be Christ's outstretched arms for the women who enter my practice. But if Planned Parenthood and New York succeed in blocking conscience protections for medical professionals, I may be forced to either perform procedures that violate my conscience or leave my practice and the profession entirely. These federal conscience protections, known as the Conscience Rule, merely allow the government to enforce rules that have been on the books with bipartisan support for decades. These laws, like the Weldon Amendment and the Coates-Snow Amendment, simply prevent tax dollars from being used to force pro-life doctors like me from performing abortions. But Planned Parenthood in New York don't like that, so they sued to render those long-established and bipartisan laws toothless. Without the conscience rule in place, religious doctors and nurses across the country are at greater risk of being forced to perform procedures that violate our core beliefs. I cannot take the life of a child in one room and guide another child into this world in the next, nor can I care for one elderly woman while helping another end her life. That would not only undermine my most deeply held religious beliefs and my medical judgment, but also the oath I took as a medical professional. Medical professionals have the privilege and the honor of serving those in need. For doctors like me, our job is our calling, and we do not take this calling lightly. Each and every day we make decisions in reliance on our medical judgment and the best interests of our patients. Government bureaucrats should not insert their politics into these critical and deeply personal medical decisions. My faith is at the heart of who I am. It's what drives me to put the needs of women and their children first every day. It makes me a better doctor. For decades, our country has recognized that a big, diverse nation like ours can deliver high-quality medical care without making taxpayers force people of faith to violate their core beliefs. If we forget that insight, we'll hurt both doctors and patients." Again, written by Regina Frost. As New York is pressuring OBGYNs with the help of Planned Parenthood to perform abortions or leave medicine. Troublesome times. And folks, on that very topic as well, we see issues that are going on right now, as in the state of Nebraska. Nebraskans listening today. From LifeNews.com, a Planned Parenthood lobbyist in Nebraska defending abortions that dismember nearly fully formed unborn babies, claiming the barbaric procedures are between a woman and her doctor. The Nebraska legislature currently considering a bill that would ban dismemberment abortions, often called the D&E abortions. A dismemberment abortion introduced in the Nebraska legislature and the opening day of the session. We have the likes of Planned Parenthood defending dismemberment abortions from taking place. Folks, think about that. I'm not going to go into the details. I don't have to. It speaks for itself. We're living in trouble sometimes. And then another story from LifeNews.com. Belgian doctors going on trial today. That would be January 14th. For euthanizing a woman who was suffering after a difficult relationship breakup. The doctors, whose identities have not been made public, are accused of unlawfully poisoning a 38-year-old in 2010. Prosecutors allege that the young woman did not fulfill the correct conditions to be legally euthanized. The disturbing case saw the doctors certify the physically healthy 38-year-old as autistic so that they could euthanize her. Her family said that her suffering was not the result of autism, but of a broken heart after the end of a relationship, not autism. Doctors are accused of breaking the law, as she never received treatment for autism. Her suffering was never established as incurable, which is a requirement to certify for Belgian euthanasia. That trial underway right now. We're living in troublesome times. And folks, we're seeing the issues that are going on in not only in politics, but in all of life, and even in religion. From LifeNews.com as well, a pastor in England who was convicted last week of raping several young members of his congregation and then forcing them to abort their unborn babies to cover up his abuse. Birmingham, England. The pastor, originally from Nigeria, found guilty of sexually abusing women, six women and a man, in court, and maybe even more victims to come. Troublesome times. And our children so under attack in so many different ways. And as BreakingIsraelNews.com tells us of yet another way, as they report today on Disney introducing a demon who trains children to be witches. A new Disney animated television series released by Disney Television Animation on Friday has many parents concerned that the house that Mickey Mouse built has transitioned into giving children a bizarre pro-demon and witchcraft message. The Owl House, created by Dana Terrace, is described in the words of Disney. The series follows self-assured teenager girl Luz, who discovers a portal to another realm where humans are not well-liked, and she must disguise herself in order to fit in at witch school. Luz, the main character, is a 14-year-old Dominican-American teenager. Her mentor, Edda, the Owl Lady, is the most powerful witch on the Isles and a wanted criminal for selling magical items to humans. King is a demon warrior and Edda's roommate. The evil nemesis in the story, a character named Warden Wrath, who wears a plague doctor mask. Wrath keeps his enemies in a prison called the Conformatorium for the crime of being different from everyone else. The setting for the demon realm is on the Boiling Isles, which is the decaying corpse of a titan. And on that story goes. But folks, the whole premises here, this introduction of a demon who trains children to be witches. We're living in troublesome times. And folks, it is not a time to be playing church, and not a time to be playing Christianity, where we're Christians in name only, but for the church to stand up and be the church. I'd like to hear what you have to say on the issue here. Our phone number to Crosstalk is 800-733-9829. Perilous times, troublesome times, they're upon us here in the United States and around the world. Your thoughts on this topic today are number 800-733-9829. We'll be right back.
High in the Swiss Alps, Lucian, a lonely, frightened 13-year-old, is overtaken by catastrophic events as he causes little Danny to fall off of a cliff. Danny! Lucian finds himself an outcast with his family, his school friends, and especially the very hostile Annette, the sister of Danny.
Danny, I've told you not to talk to Lucian. He'll only hurt you again.
Bitterness and anger set in. As Lucian finds solitude in the nearby woods, he comes across a woodcarver who helps him find the peace he was looking for, that not only changes his life, but that of others as well.
You may be able to run away from the village, but you can't run away from yourself.
Treasures of the Snow quickly captures the heart. It's a story of friendship, forgiveness, and redemption. Treasures of the Snow is available on DVD for a donation of $16 or more by calling VCY America at 1-800-729-9829. That's 1-800-729-9829.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America, and we're talking about troublesome times today and the importance of understanding where we're at in society today. And so many just play this game of Christianity. We go to church, we do our, you know, we do that once a week thing that we do. We walk out the doors, never giving another thought until we go back the next week once again. The Bible tells us that evil men and seducers are going to wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And Paul told Timothy, yet he said, you continue. Continue in the things which you've learned and has been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. From a child you've known the Holy Scriptures that are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. We're in troublesome times. It is time for the church to be salt and to be light. Let's hear what you have to say on the issue. Pensacola, Florida. Don, you're on the air.
Thank you, Jim. It is indeed troublous times. My heart goes out to the street preacher who was tortured for preaching that Christ crucified and arisen. And Jesus said in John 14, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. A woman called recently, maybe a couple months ago, saying that mansions doesn't belong in our book, but she's misinformed. Mansions, the word right in front of mansions is M-A-N for many, and it's not even in italics. It's in the original text, Greek. And Christianity is the most inclusive religion in the world. God will take anybody that admits they're a sinner and comes to him and bring your sin to the cross and go away a new person in Christ.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Don. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let's go to Pasco, Washington. Hugo, you're on the air. Your thoughts.
Hey, Jim. Thank you. I'm here to call in. I have two kids, a little boy and a little girl. And just, you know, it's really important that we, you know, kind of help them understand what's right and what's wrong.
Yes.
It all comes back to the family and the household, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely, you know, it's very important that, you know, for those kind of shows that come on, that we, you know, as parents make a stand and make sure that they know what they're watching. And if it's something that as parents we know it's wrong, it's our responsibility to, you know, to take that away if we need to. You know, just like it says in the Bible that, you know, they need to be like arrows that we need to send off into the world for Christ, you know. And I think if we prepare them, you know, from when they're little, to know what's right and what's wrong, then it's gonna benefit them in the long run.
Yeah, and that's, you know, even again looking at the context of the passage here, that's what Paul told Timothy. He said, "From a child, you've known the Holy Scriptures." He's telling him, "Stay by this." You know. Then it goes on that says, you know, all Scripture given by inspiration of God. It tells us what is right, what is not right, how to get right, and how to stay right. And you're on the right track, Hugo.
Definitely. Thank you, Jim.
Thank you for the call. Our telephone number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. Your thoughts on this issue here today, the troublesome times in which we are. Your response to it, 800-733-9829. Let's go to Pennsylvania. Caller, go ahead. You're on the air.
Yes, hi. Thanks for taking my call. I guess the thing that that I find as a Christian and I see others, I mean, we live in a world where, I mean, we hear like where the stand that, like, let's just say like Starbucks and Target, those are the two that kind of are on my mind. There's more that the stand that they take, and they're just out there and they're just point blank how they feel about Christians, and even like Chick-fil-A recently. But the Christians still just won't rise up enough to even stop, you know, going to those places and making a stand just for something as, to me, as simple as that. I mean, for me, I had a product that, my dog, let's say, you know, was the only dog food I could find that she would eat, and it was at Target. I returned it, and I told them why I was returning it. And I just think more Christians need to step up, you know, in faith, you know, and just kind of and let them know why.
Mm-hmm.
But the other part that really bothers me is the fact that not only that, but when Christians, we need to be a prayerful Christian. But God's not going to hear the prayers of a Christian if your heart is if you don't have your heart right, if you don't have this, if you have sin in your heart, And so Christians need to also remember that we need to really get our lives straight and be in a prayerful place so that God will actually even hear our prayers. So
yeah, and that's part of the issue. We try to hold the world accountable for things that we're not taking care of in our own lives and our own homes.
Absolutely.
And that's where
it begins.
Thank
you also for your program. I mean, it's wonderful. It makes me help me with my stand to keep, you know, everything. Because I don't like to listen to the news a lot, but I do need to have the knowledge so I know where to stand and what to do and my part to play. So that's how I feel about it.
Thank you for your call today.
Thank you.
Bye-bye now. Our telephone number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. Clarence is calling from Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Yeah, it's interesting what's occurring. See, people don't believe we're getting there towards the end. Now more and more people, like when I talk to people on the bus, they're asking. They see it coming. They realize that something isn't right. What's sad is a lot of Christians are afraid to speak up.
Hmm.
Now is the time when we should be speaking up because of what's going on. Like we've got I think it's 19 states right now, if the woman has the baby and doesn't want it, they should euthanize it. How can you do that? That's murder.
Yeah.
And you know what's interesting? Years ago when it started, I told at one of the Bible studies, well, we're all considered murderers because we've killed an animal of some sort. In the Garden of Eden, that wasn't happening where we deliberately stepped on something or shot it. But I said, once we went down that slippery slope, all of a sudden now it's happening with people. Now you're talking, they want to euthanize them.
Yeah.
It's getting crazy in the sense that we're seeing the evil getting worse.
We are. Yeah, thank
you. Here, yeah, and you know what? Is New York by any chance got a Democratic governor?
Yes.
All the 19 states are authorizing the euthanasia of babies after they're born, all have Democratic.
Well, yeah, and some of these are talking about up until birth, and then
yeah.
Even at what we saw taking place with the Governor Northam in Virginia, you know, if a baby survives a failed abortion attempt, what should be done? And he said, well, that's left up to the doctor and her mother. Troublesome times indeed. Thank you, Clarence. I got to run. Our telephone number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. Cindy in Ramsey, Minnesota, you're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I'm calling about the nearness of the Lord's return. That the most perplexing thing to me is believers that are not looking for His return or aware that the nearness of His return is soon. As in 2 Timothy 4:8, it says, "Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous Judge, will award to me on that day." Not only to me, but also to all who have longed for His appearing. The pulpits are silent on the events pointing to the nearness of His return, and Christians seem to be apathetic. And I don't understand that. We should be alerting our loved ones to how close the time is. And that's all I wanted to say. Thank you.
Thank you so much for your call here today. Folks, I've got several open lines, and we welcome your phone calls today. This issue of troublesome times in which we live, it is a time that we must wake up to these times and to be salt and to be light in this world. 800-733-9829. To Zanesville, Ohio. Debbie, you're on the air.
Yes, it's very true that we're living in the last days, and it says the eyes of the Lord are on all the righteous, and His ears are open to their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil, and there's so much evil and wickedness in this day. It's earth-shattering,
yeah.
Jim.
Yeah, it truly is, but do we even recognize what's going on? Are we alert to what is taking place? And is, you know, part of the question here, Debbie, is because so many are oblivious, we're just going with the flow of this world.
Yeah, and it's scary when you feel like you want to stay on this earth better, more than you want to go to heaven at a better place and be at the feet of Jesus.
Hmm. Thank you for the call, Debbie.
Yes, thank you.
And as we're told in Romans chapter 12, to be not conformed to this world, but to be, what, transformed. to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We've got a lot of conforming to this world that is taking place today, a lot of conforming even to the troublesome times. And you've got, I'm thankful for the pro-life nurse who says, I'm not going that direction. I'm not going that direction that we're being placed into here at this point. We've got so many issues that are going on in the world today that it really ought to be a wake-up call to what is taking place, and time for the church to be the church and to proclaim the Word of God. And that's what Paul told Timothy in such times, to preach the Word, proclaim the Word, and then warn that there was going to be coming a time when men would heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, just wanting to have their ears tickled. Friends, we need not to have our ears tickled. We need to have our toes stepped on. Let's go to Tim in Mobile, Alabama. You're on the air, Tim.
Hey, just wanted to say, it's troublesome times, and I think what we really need is just a revival back to the Word of God. Mm. We're so desensitized to what our nation is doing, and it's not even shocking or alarming anymore. When used to be, red flags went up everywhere when things went against the Word of God.
But right.
I just feel like with all the social media, and we're so into all these other things in the world, that we just have pushed the Word of God aside. And if we would get back into the Scriptures, I just believe it would give us a new, a fresh awakening to what this world is actually doing before our very eyes. And just want to say thanks for the program. We appreciate it. And God bless you guys.
Great. Thank you, Tim. God bless you as well. The Scripture says, 1 Peter 5:8, to be sober, to be vigilant. Why? Because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. We do need to be alert. We need to be understanding of the times in which we live. Let's go to Juan in Kenosha, Wisconsin. You're on the air, Juan.
Hey, thanks for your call. Thanks for answering the call. So I was just listening, and I'm just kind of curious. So I know in the book of Revelation, it talks about the last days and things like that. And so what's your take on, like, the last days? Are we talking about, like, in today's era, or, like, going back to, like, the last days, starting from, like, nation against nation, like revolutionary wars and, like, the world wars that we've had and those kinds of things? Are, like, have we been living in the last days, or are we just now starting to live in the last days?
No, I think we've been, but like what we have seen, even from our guests, the intensity, as we had Dr. Gary Frazier with us last week, the intensity of issues is picking up. Not only the intensity, but the frequency of these matters is picking up. So, yes, we've been on this trajectory, but the magnitude is on the increase here. The earthquake is happening, and the magnitude is intensifying here, and that's the point that we're seeking to make here. Troublesome times in which we live, and the point is here, one of our necessity for us to be alert and awake to this, and to understand what our role as Christians is in such a time as this.
Yeah, I do. I honestly do believe, just like the last couple of callers, they did say that, you know, what we need to do as Christians is, I believe that we should start being alert, or be more alert, and also telling other people about that.
Amen. Amen. Indeed. I'm up against a break, so thank you for the call. I'm going to let you go, and we'll pick up with more calls right after the break here. This is Crosstalk on VCY America. We'll be right back.
For the Worldview Week in Minute, I'm Brennan House. Our website's worldviewradio.com. Continue our series on the dangers of discourse. It's fine to have a debate. It's fine to have a conversation. But discourse and dialogue is meant to find common ground. And we've seen in our series of lists that it can do many dangerous things. Number four is, when you engage in discourse or dialogue with cultural Marxists, you're accepting their cultural Marxist language. For instance, if they want to dialogue with you on certain things, let's say white privilege, when you agree to do that, you're embracing their term of white privilege, and thereby acknowledging that there is a such thing as white privilege, that certain people succeed because they're white, others fail because they're not. Yet that's not factually true. The studies overwhelmingly show that folks from Asia are doing much better than a lot of Caucasians. Folks from India are doing a lot better than a lot of white American Caucasians. America is based on hard work, and when you accept a dialogue or discourse with a cultural Marxist, you're accepting the dangerous language they propose.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Our topic today is that of troublesome times, and I would like to just give a quick mention to listeners in Arizona and New Mexico that starting this week, this weekend on Sunday, we've got a number of VCY events that are taking place, starting in Phoenix, Arizona, this coming Sunday. Dr. Jimmy DeYoung will be the speaker for the events, examining current events in light of Bible prophecy. And if you're in these areas, we would encourage you to be out. Jason Hamilton from Majesty Music and son of Ron and Shelley Hamilton will be not only providing special music, but also leading in music as well. Randy Melchert here from VCY will be facilitating these events, but coming to the southwest part of the United States, Phoenix on Sunday morning service, then to Mesa in the Sunday evening service. Then it's just Tucson, Arizona on Monday the 20th, followed by Silver City, New Mexico, Rio Rancho, Santa Fe, Gallup, Scottsdale, Arizona, then rounding off the week. You can check it out at vcyrally.org, vcyrally.org. Let's go back to the phone lines. We have Shirley in Richland, Washington. You're on the air.
Yes. I heard on another radio program this morning, which really distressed me, is a group of never-Trumpers that are Republican, and the man, one of the leading men, is the husband of the woman who works closely with Trump, but that why should we as Christians vote for a man who has bad language and so forth, even to the point that it is okay to vote for the Democrats? I cannot believe they're going to put an all-out effort, and they have an ad out now, and that I just can't believe what now we've got two groups against him, and what is going to happen. And this is all, why should Christians vote for someone who has some bad language versus all of the other Democrat things? Just unbelievable. Because somebody gets his feelings hurt, he didn't get on the Supreme Court. Mm.
Such as the killing of babies and advancing an LGBT agenda, et cetera, et cetera. Thank you, Shirley. Kelly in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, your thoughts.
Yes, you know, it's true that, you know, we are in troubling times, but we also have to look at Scripture and look at all of the things that God has given to us in His Word, meaning in Galatians, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm, then, and do not let yourself be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. What if we as Christians... We need to be that voice. We need to stand firm.
Yes.
We need to put our voice out there as the group that you're talking about. They're really, I don't want to say they're the minority, but they're a lot less of a volume of people than I think we are. But we need to be that voice. We need to stand up for what we see and know is right.
Right. Exactly, Kelly. And keep in mind that the darker the night, the brighter the light shines.
That's exactly it. Thank you, Jim.
Thank you for the call. We have Maxine in Ohio. You're on the air.
Thank you. I would like to remind everybody, too, that you have the authority in the name of Jesus Christ to get rid of all the demonic spirits and send them back to where they came from. And you need to do this daily, because if you don't, they absolutely will take over.
Well, Maxine, we do need to realize greater is he that's in us than he that is in the world. And we know that Jesus Christ is who reigns supreme in that regard. But certainly we need to first deal with evil that's happening in our own hearts and lives and have that corrected. As the caller referred to earlier, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. And the Bible does say to be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. And as we're told in the book of James, to resist the devil and he will flee from you. We need to resist him. We need to resist the temptations that come our direction and to draw near to God, and he will draw near to us. Thank you. I've got to run. Hattiesburg, Mississippi. Andrew, you're on the air.
Hey, good afternoon and happy New Year to all of you there.
Thank you. Likewise.
It's been a while since I've called, but in light of this topic we're talking about, I was going to say I've been struggling a little bit with some of the new modern praise worship and everything, and with all these other end times things going on. And, you know, it's occurred to me after somebody shared with me that, you know, you can find Jesus if you want to. And, you know, the world hollers louder than God does because he speaks in a still, small voice. And as soon as I tuned in today, the verse that hit me about that was that, and then that he tells us to seek him while he may be found.
Amen. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Thank you, Andrew, for that reminder. Utica, Minnesota. John, you're on the air. Hello, John, are you with us?
I'm with you, yep.
Okay, you're on the air.
Oh, okay. This is John. Regarding that call you had here just a little bit ago about the being in the end times, we've had this discussion in adult Sunday school class before. How do we reach out to people? How do we basically bring the word, you know, of repentance and get everyone to come to salvation through our Lord? But really, to talk to people, to example to people. So much of the time you're considered to be politically incorrect and all that stuff. I guess what I'm trying to come back to is the fact that unless we reach out to our God in prayer and pray for the souls of the lost, there's really nothing else we can do.
Indeed, John, we need to sow the seed of the Word of God. Remember, His Word will not return unto Him void, but will accomplish that which He pleases. So we do need to sow the seed of the Word of God. We need pulpits that are going to proclaim the Word of God from the pulpits, and we as believers need to live our lives. As it says in 1 John, every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. We need to be that example as well to this world. Hello, John.
Hello.
Okay. Thank you for your call here. John Phoenix, we've got a few seconds. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hello.
Very quickly, John, we're almost out of time.
Yes. What bothers me are the Democrats that vote for people that promote abortion, and those Christian Democrats, they don't realize when those people, they promote abortion, they end up with blood on their hands as well.
Troubling, troubling, troubling indeed. Thank you for your call. I'm out of time. The theme music is playing. Friends, we do live in troublesome times, and let's be diligent. Let's remember from a child like Timothy to have known the Holy Scriptures, and let's go to it as our ultimate source of authority, and let's live it before this world. Thanks for joining us on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.